and other folks join us, then we'll join. We can join in. Okay. Should we call things to order? Mm-hmm. Or call the roll, sorry. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ms. Anderson.
Here.
Ms. Blakeman.
Here.
Mr. Fulmer. Ms. Hart. Mr. Ledoux. Mr. Lansford.
Here.
Mr. Malik.
Here.
Ms. Pearson. Ms. Sandler.
So our first item on the agenda, of course, is to approve the agenda. Since that is an action item, we do allow for brief public comment on any action item, and I will call for that at that time. But we do also have general public comment at the end of the agenda, and I will introduce that then. So for the agenda, do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
All right, do we have any questions from the board about the agenda? Okay. Any comment from the audience about the agenda? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed. Okay. Next we have just the regular meeting minutes from June 18th.
Yeah, move to approve. Second.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the board about the minutes? Any comment from the audience about the minutes? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And opposed. Okay. And now we have the director's report.
Okay, I have a couple of exciting things to report on this evening. First, I would like to introduce our new development director, Terry Good. I'll let Terry describe a little bit more about herself here in a second, but it has been a number of years since Donna Pennon's retirement that we've had this position available. So we are so excited to have Terry join us, especially as particularly the foundation is embarking on the campaign for the 150th anniversary. She couldn't have come at a better time, so we are thrilled she's here. And Terry, would you like to share a bit more about yourself?
Sure. So I keep telling people I just moved across the street because I spent 22 years at Family Service of Champaign County across Bay Street, and I am directionally challenged. So if I'm pointing in the wrong direction, I apologize. But I was the development director there for 20 years and helped lead their centennial campaign, so that makes me excited to lead the sesquicentennial here at the Champaign Public Library. And also while I was there, I had the chance to take courses over at the J.K. Lilly School of Philanthropy and get my certificate in fundraising management, and then later became a certified fundraising executive, a CFRE, and which is kind of the gold standard, if you will, in the field. And so I'm excited to bring that experience here. I also worked with a lot of volunteers because I was a retired senior volunteer program director for 2 years, and a lot of those volunteers work here at the library. So it just feels like putting a lot of pieces of my life together coming to this position, and I'm very excited to get to know each of you and work with you, and thank you for the work you do to support the library. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you and welcome. Glad to have you here.
Okay, I've got just a couple more updates. The summer reading program is about halfway through and it's going very, very well. We have more than 3,400 participants registered in the program. As you probably saw in your packet, more than 2,000 books already distributed, which is wonderful for those prize books, with the community reading more than 1.5 million minutes so far. So that's great. Community's been very busy with their reading. The summer programming series in the studio has been marvelous. It's been very successful with the teen drop-ins on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the school-age kid drop-in on Wednesdays. We've seen hundreds of families coming in, learning the technology, completing the activities, making crafts. It's been really, really exciting. And then I also want to mention that our Friday night hours, which resumed in the first time in 10 years at the main location, on last Friday, July 11th, was fabulous. We started off with a really full house. All of the programs had great attendance. And just as the evening kind of weighed into the 8 and 9 o'clock, it started to taper off naturally, which was really lovely. So we had lots of community members thanking us. In particular, we saw one customer comment where they said, I completed the online survey for the strategic plan to ask for Friday night hours again, and they were so impressed that the board and the library were able to listen and to bring that back. So lots of appreciation. And then I also would like to mention, and Jen will probably talk a little bit more about this either later today or next month, but we did receive notification that we will receive our per capita grant funding. That had been one of the state grants that we had been concerned about, but we did receive our award notice. I did contact the state library, and they assured us that the check will be here within 6 weeks. So we're thrilled to have that funding. And one thing I'd like to share about that is Chuck had mentioned this a couple of months ago about a gift that the foundation has received that has been particularly generous. Well, that gift I can share more information about was actually a bequest for a little over $900,000 with a designation for books, both print books, e-books, audio books. And so by creating an endowment for our collection materials, we will be able to ensure excellent service to our community members for books that they're interested in. So those hold times, those wait times, hopefully we'll be able to see continued decreases. Nanette will talk about this. We try to monitor those holds ratios very closely to ensure customers can get what they would like. But we think that we'll be able to have a big impact with those resources.
Awesome.
We have a very generous community.
We really do.
And up next, I would like to have our presentation for our annual statistics from our Collections and Technical Services Manager, Nanette Donahue.
Hi, happy to be here again for the annual statistics overview for fiscal year 2025, which just ended on June 30th. I always like to start with the at-a-glance, comparing the previous year to the current year, 2 years ago to the previous year. So in fiscal 24, we had 1,898 events, fiscal 25, 1,835, so very close in number. We saw a really nice increase in the number of library cards issued from about 5,500 to about 6,000. So that's a nice increase. Our Access Services Department has done a lot of wonderful work making it easier for community members to get a library card, and we are seeing the impact of that. Library visits were down slightly. Part of this could be attributed to the fact that we got new people counters. This helped Douglas's counts a lot because for several months during fiscal 24, they did not have a functioning counter. And we were using a rolling average, which it turned out was quite low. At Maine, it could have lowered the number of visits that we're seeing. We are still quite busy. So I think that this could probably be attributed to the new counters being maybe a little more accurate. In terms of physical items loaned, 1,247,000 in 2024. 1,244,000 in 2025. A lot of this is due to the reduction in people's usage of the audiovisual collections, the DVDs, the CDs, the CD audiobooks, those sorts of things. These are collections that have been decreasing in usage for quite a long time. This is not unexpected, but it is more than made up for in terms of the number of digital items loaned, which jumped from about 326,000 in fiscal 24 to about 367,000 in fiscal 25. Some highlights of our library events over the year. Life-size Candyland is always incredibly popular. This year we did two community job fairs, one in September and one in February. A great authors event continued with author Ken Liu. Teen Lounge, of course, very popular every day after school with middle and high school students. Our summer reading kickoff party, which just took place back in May. That was a really wonderful time. Children's author Suzanne Selfors came to visit us during National Library Week. Our very successful Friday night jam sessions at Douglas Branch Library, which bring community members together to share their art. We have a very robust business series. This is a slide from Small Business Taxes 201 from a local accountant. And then our ongoing Tuesdays at 10 program, which covers various themes. This was from a local history program, Intro to Ancestry. By the numbers, for adults, we had 464 events this past year with 9,402 attendees. For teens, 197 events. Many of those were the after-school teen lounge with almost 26,000 attendees, which is really impressive. And then for children's, 1,174 events with 34,745 attendees. And this includes all of our story times. This includes the Mother Goose events. This includes special programming that we do on the weekends for families and kids. Lots of great events going on at the library. Looking at the library cards issue, this is such a lovely stair step, showing the difference between fiscal year 20 when we issued a little over 3,000 cards. And granted, we were closed for a while due to COVID, but we are seeing some really, really nice increases. That's almost double the number of cards that we issued, and that's impressive. That's some growth, and I think that's something to be very proud of. And then the number of cardholders is also at a record high, 35,277 as of the end of fiscal year 25. This is a number that can fluctuate a bit throughout the year because as cards expire, they're no longer active. And so sometimes, especially in coordination with the academic year and students leaving town, sometimes we do see cards expire and the number decrease, but then it usually bounces back up. So this is really nice to see that we have quite a few community members who have cards at the library and are using them.
Nanette, is that like half of the population of Champaign, like half of the eligible, or?
I think it's a little less than half. Christina, do you have any insight?
I think it's less than half. Yeah, I think our last census was, and what we put on our per capita is something like, is it 89,000?
Yeah. Pretty good number, though.
I have a question.
Sure.
Do we have any data on the demographics of what part of our population is utilizing the library the most?
Christina, do we
not keep demographic? We don't keep demographic statistics.
Okay, just asking.
But there is a way for us to maybe do neighborhoods. We might be able to do.
Oh yeah,
that
would be great. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. In terms of public computer and Wi-Fi usage, if you remember last year's presentation, we had that jump in public computer usage that was unusual, and we couldn't really attribute it to anything, and nobody, including adult services, was quite sure what was going on there, but it leapt up really quickly. It's back down this year. So it will be interesting to see what happens this current fiscal year in terms of the public computer usage. Was fiscal year 24 just a glitch, where we suddenly had a lot of people coming in to use the computers for various reasons? What's going on? Are we gonna see it jump again? So it'll be interesting to see what the numbers are for this fiscal year. What is increasing and what has continued to increase over the last 5 years is the use of the Wi-Fi. This is not unexpected. A lot of people come into the building with their own devices, whether it's a phone, a tablet, a laptop. We also have a lot of devices that we lend to people in-house. And so those devices are connecting to our Wi-Fi as well. So this will be something that will be interesting to watch next year and see exactly what happens with. Our specialty services are the kind of one-on-one services that we offer to community members. Things like our book a librarian service, where the public can make appointments with our librarians and adult services to learn how to use the studio, to help with business, with career, with technology. Those we saw a huge jump last fiscal year because of the opening of the studio. A lot of people wanted to come in and learn how to use that equipment, and so we had a ton of book a librarian appointments. It's leveled off a bit now. We saw a jump in the one-on-ones at Douglas, and I expect to see that again for this current fiscal year with the opening of the makerspace at Douglas. Lots of people are going to want to learn how to use the equipment over at Douglas. Teacher requests, that can fluctuate a bit. As you can see, we had a high number in 2022, we had a lower number in 2023, so it's been bouncing back and forth. This is a service that we offer to local teachers where we can provide support for what they are teaching in the classroom. They send us a topic, and our children's staff pulls a variety of materials for them to use in the classroom. It's a really lovely service for teachers. Book bundles is another service offered by our children's department. This was something they launched during COVID when families weren't able to come into the library to select their own books. You can send in, there's a little form you fill out on the website. You can send in a list of things that your child wants to read, and they will prepare for you a selection of books. My kids have used it, and they really enjoyed it. Our children's staff is wonderful at providing these book bundles. And then finally, home delivery. We are very close in number to where we were last year in terms of number of deliveries. So our volunteers made 850 deliveries to community members who are unable to physically come into the library.
Do you have any data on the homeschooling? Utilizing the library for homeschooling materials.
I do not. Anything we would have would be anecdotal, and it would be something that our children's staff might know.
Okay.
In terms of adult material circulation, so this is 6 years worth of data. I will be really happy to dump fiscal year 2020 off of here because it's so low. And it kind of skews everything. But you see we have some nice increases in usage almost across the board. As the person who manages the Intel collections, I'm always thrilled to see these increases because it feels like I'm doing something right. So fiction, up over 200,000 fiction items circulated at the main library this year. Nonfiction is up as well. That was really refreshing to see because I had been concerned because of the ways people are accessing information differently. And our nonfiction collection hasn't been as widely used over the last several years. But that's nice to see an increase. Was thrilled to see the increase in large print because I have been working really hard on that collection, making it more diverse, making it more interesting, offering a wider variety of materials. So I have been investing a lot of energy and quite a bit of money into that collection, and I'm glad to see some increases there. The CD audiobooks usage is down. Part of that is there just isn't a lot to purchase anymore. Many of the publishers have gone to digital only. I am maintaining the collection. I am watching the usage of that collection really carefully. I don't have any plans at this time to sunset it, but it is something that I am watching to make sure that the usage is still justifying continuing to purchase in that format. Same thing with the CDs. The decrease is not as dramatic as it's been in past years. It's just a slight decrease, but that collection is still being used. I am still purchasing there. DVDs and Blu-rays, continuing to decrease as people's viewing habits change. Video games are pretty steady. Usage on Libby of the ebooks and the e-audio, this continues to increase. I expect we will see these numbers over 100,000 next year, especially with the gift that we're receiving, having the per capita in play as well. I will be able to invest some money into these collections, and that will reduce the number. So we saw a nice increase in collection usage for adult materials, and I've got nothing else to say about that other than I'm really happy. Our teen materials continue to do well. Fiction is close to where it was last year. Our teen nonfiction collection is a very small collection, and it is used pretty well. Teen audiobooks, we have not purchased new content for that collection in quite some time because most teens are not using CDs. But we have what we have, and people are still using them a bit, so we're maintaining the collection just as it is. Usage of e-content for teens, not up as dramatically as it is for adults, but it's still up a little bit, and I would expect to see that over 9,000 per format next year. Finally, the children's at Maine. Most things are up or pretty close to where we were last year. Fiction up a bit, and that includes the graphic novels, which are the most popular collection in the library, the kids' graphic novels. The size of that collection is about the size of the fiction collection, but it takes up about like an eighth of the space because so much stuff is checked out. I have a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old, and that is the thing. They come here, and that's the first place they go.
Comic books are always popular.
Yep.
Yeah, some of us aren't children anymore.
That's why we have the adult graphic novel collection too, which I have been working on this year. Picture books tend to fluctuate a bit. It's down a little from last year, but not dramatically so. Children's audiobooks do really well, and a lot of that, I think, is parents not wanting to hand their kids a device and say, here, listen to something. We have in our children's collection a format called Playaway that's really intuitive for young children. They know, plug your headphones in, they know, press the play button. And so a lot of families will check those out. We're not buying a ton of CD audio for kids. It's mostly in that Playaway format. The children's CD usage is up a little bit, which surprised me, but that's pleasant. I always like to see an increase. It's not a collection we're investing a lot in, but it is still being used, which is nice. Same with the DVD collection. It's still doing fairly well. Like the adult DVD collection, a lot of this decreases people switching to streaming rather than checking out a DVD or Blu-ray from the library. Our read-alongs and Wonder Books continue to do well. Those are, when I was a kid, that was the book and record or book and cassette. Mm-hmm. Now it is a book and CD or a book with a media player embedded in it where you press play and it reads the story to you. So those are very popular, especially with young kids and families. And then our Libby collections for kids continue to do really well. I would not be surprised to see these increase fairly significantly next year, just because of the changes in people's usage. So we are still looking very good in terms of circulation in our children's collection. And that is that. Let's take a look at Douglas. I always want to mention that Douglas is a very small collection and that minor changes in customer usage can really skew these things in interesting ways. You know, you have a teenager who is a voracious reader, it can skew the usage of the teen collection, and then the following year maybe they move to the adult collection and things fluctuate. So I would not look too much at where things were from year to year and just look at how the collection is used, which it is still very well used. Fiction continues to be one of the more popular print collections at the branch, with a little over 3,000 circulations in the last year. Nonfiction is down a bit. That is something that I have been talking to Thea, the new collections manager, about. We are looking at what is being sent over to Maine, to Douglas from Maine. We're looking at what topics are popular so we can beef up that collection and make it more of interest to the community. Large print does very well with Douglas, and that's been a great thing. She's continuing to purchase in that format, and people are using it. They have a very tiny audiobook collection. I'm not surprised that the circulation is very low because they don't have a whole lot, and I don't think they are actively buying an audio anymore. Their CD collection still gets checked out. Same with the DVD collection. They did a lot of work on their video game collection this past year, and it shows in the statistics. It's leapt up incredibly well. They invested some money, they invested some effort in it, and people are responding to it, which is wonderful. Their teen collections are doing well. Their teen nonfiction collection is tiny, so it's not surprising that only 8 circulations in the whole year. I think they maybe have 25 items in their teen nonfiction, but their teen fiction collection is doing quite well. We're also seeing some nice circulation in children. Their fiction is doing well. Nonfiction, once again, is a little low. That's probably something that I will work with Elise, the children's librarian at Douglas, on, trying to improve that collection a bit. Picture books doing okay. Their children's CD collection also very tiny, so I'm not surprised that the circulation is considerably low. DVDs and Blu-rays still continue to do well at the branch, as do the Wonder Books. So we're seeing some nice circulation. When you look at it overall from year to year, it's not all that different from where it was last year. It's just that things have moved around a little bit. But it's always nice to see the circulation at Douglas. It is a well-used branch, and we are continuing to invest time and money and effort into making these collections really wonderful.
How much do you get any requests from BGW, Washington Zoo, to really encourage children to come over and use, are they just basically using their library?
You know, I'm not sure. Brittany, do you have any insight on that?
I think we do see quite a bit of visits, but you know, to some of Nanette's comments that we do share each year is we see a lot of in-house usage as well. So I mean, I'd have to talk with Elise.
Reading in the library, not reading, necessarily yes. Checking it out and taking it home.
But I and we also have the giveaway books over there too that kiddos can take. But I'd have to talk with Elise a little bit more about visits for this year. Well, this upcoming year, or what we had last year.
Okay. Nanette, do you, I can't remember from the earlier screen, but do you separate out Douglas's e-resource usage? Do
it's
know
all
that?
One.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah,
it's just tied to your library card.
I'm just curious if they're using the e-books and the e-audios at the same time rate that.
Yeah, there's really no way to tell because it's just Champaign Public Library.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was curious too, and maybe, I don't know, I didn't see. Oh, here. I was just wondering about with the big increase in Wi-Fi usage, is that a bandwidth issue for us going forward? Or
it will be at some point, yeah.
Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. Good now. Cool.
Yeah.
So did we get any of the seniors over, you know, when I say seniors, I mean seniors, over to use any of the tech services that you're offering over there?
We sorry, honey, yes, Thea wasn't able to be here this evening. Sorry, she's working on onboarding some new staff, so she wasn't able to be here this evening. But yes, we have seen some seniors utilizing the makerspace. We saw folks at the opening, and we've seen folks since come in. I do know also that when Essie was still here, we tried to coordinate some of our programming that might be of particular interest to our senior audience who were already nearby with the annex, that they could come over right after one of the programs that were there happening at the annex at the same time. So I think we have seen that attendance.
Continuing on Rajiv's theme on ebooks, have you seen any progress at all in decreasing the price?
No. I'm sad to say no. As a matter of fact, the prices continue to increase. I'm doing some ebook ordering today. I do it every week. It seems like maybe around July 1st they increased the prices again, some of the publishers. So it is still difficult, but I will talk a little bit about some of the things that I'm doing to try to continue to make e-content accessible and manage the budget without things getting out of hand. because it is a balancing act. I'm still disappointed that I cannot offer the depth of collection in ebooks and e-audio that I would like to. It's not as deep, it's not as comprehensive as what we have in print, but unfortunately we can't afford it right now. And unless something changes, it's going to be difficult to afford it going forward as well.
Yeah, I think of this also in terms of our latest gift of books on paper that can be eaten up by the ebooks, you know, as opposed to the whole library. Is there a continuing effort on the part of the library consortia to force these prices down?
There is quite a bit of advocacy work going on there. Unfortunately, I think we were dealt a bit of a blow when the courts threw out what passed in Illinois in terms of the ebook pricing legislation that was passed a few years ago. So people are kind of regrouping and trying to figure out what angle we can come at this issue from. And it's difficult.
You mentioned you'd like to have a more robust offering in the ebook space.
Mm-hmm.
What are there specific areas that you would like to have built out, or is it kind of just more across the board?
It's fairly general across the board. A good example of this would be a lengthy mystery series, something that has like 15 volumes.
Uh-huh.
Generally, we can't maintain the whole series because the content expires. And so it's something that if a book gets damaged and I have to purchase it again, it's no big deal. It's like $12. I can deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
For an ebook, once it expires, it's going to be maybe $55 for two more years. And then 2 years from now, it's $55 again. As long as they haven't increased the price, which sometimes they do. So that's the frustration, is a series that would be nothing for me to purchase in print because it wouldn't cost me very much at all.
Yeah.
In e-content, it's prohibitively expensive. Now, what's fortunate is we are members of a really great digital library consortium, the Digital Library of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of libraries pooling their content, sharing their content. The consortium has a budget with which they purchase content.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of stuff kind of feeding into the pool of e-content that we have,
mm-hmm.
but it's still not comprehensive and it still doesn't include everything I think I have.
Yeah. When you say that like each ebook is like $55, does it have like more use, or is it still like when you're on Libby and you are requesting a book, it's just that one book,
and you have to wait.
So when there's like 30 books available, that means it's 30 times $55
mm-hmm.
per book,
mm-hmm.
and the contract is only like 2 years.
Yeah, and they, you
okay.
know, these things they vary. You know, some of the vendors are 20. You get 26 checkouts
uh-huh.
for a certain amount of money, but oftentimes it's 1 year, 2 years, or a certain number of checkouts.
Okay.
And you pay a fee for that, and it's one copy
mm-hmm.
per one checkout. There are some licenses where you can buy 100 copies for simultaneous use. I've done that before
yeah.
with things that are really popular, and that
mm-hmm.
helps bring down those hold lists. An example of that would be Remarkably Bright Creatures, the Shelby Van
yeah.
Pelt book. She's coming to visit. I purchased
mm-hmm.
some 100 use licenses on that,
mm-hmm.
so people can check that out, and there will be a hold list. But not all publishers are offering that, and really it's not always the most cost-effective option.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really look at these things carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes e-content purchasing kind of time-consuming,
mm-hmm.
which you really have to think about a lot of things.
What we're noticing in our book club is a lot of people are migrating towards e-books that were hardback users before, and we're also noticing that so many books now are getting much longer, and therefore the Mark Twain book is over 1,000 pages
yeah.
long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And others, we used to watch and see some books, 150 pages, 200 pages, mm-hmm. now 300, 350, yeah. 400 pages. Mm-hmm. Some of that is all the emphasis on no more plagiarizing, no more using references and not citing the references. So mm-hmm. you have huge pages in the back, mm-hmm. but just holding the 1,000-page mm-hmm. Mark mm-hmm. Twain book plus what's in the back of it is almost impossible because you've got to have a table to sit it on. So I think we're going to continue to see a rise in this ebook, and I'm really very concerned about the fact that publishers are able to maintain this price increase business.
Mm-hmm. It is very much an accessibility issue, and even with the audio, there are folks who are with print disabilities or who prefer to use audio formats for whom that works better. And if the pricing is prohibitive, it's difficult to meet that need.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a huge frustration, and something that I think about as I'm working through this is that it is an accessibility issue in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Is there any thought to giving homework assistance to children from, you know, from the area after school at Douglas?
At this point, we don't have like a tutoring program set up for our after-school programming. It has been primarily our current activities that we've been doing. We've been incorporating, of course, the Makerspace, our regular Club Fred activities, and our other after-school activities. Now, that's not to say that at both locations, tutors don't meet students. Of course, we do have lots of tutors who meet students here at both locations, but it's primarily set up already by parents, and they're arranging those tutoring visits as opposed to the library specifically bringing it. We have done it in the past, I want to say, with maybe our Project Read grant, where we had more specific like one-to-ones. In the last few years, there has been a bit of a shift from after-school tutoring with students to more adult and parent education and creating family-type events where there is maybe some math and writing help while parents are receiving perhaps an educational training and the library is providing the space and the pizza. So we've seen those types of partnerships mm-hmm. being successful, but nothing particularly at this point.
Oh, because I've gotten several calls about grandmothers taking over the primary care of children, and they don't have the knowledge, and so they're inquiring ahead of time what can be done if children needing help with homework, and they're not able to accommodate that. So they're kind of going to be leaning toward Douglas around in that area, even the daycare centers, to see if there's any support they can get there. So I was wondering what is being offered,
yeah.
or what you think could be offered.
Sure.
Okay, a few takeaways about collection usage. We are seeing increases in adult fiction and nonfiction, children's fiction, nonfiction, and audiobooks. E-content, both on Libby and Hoopla. The Hoopla numbers are not on these spreadsheets, first of all, because they don't fit, and
mm-hmm.
second, because it is more difficult to break that down by age group. Hoopla is a little iffy on how they do that. The Overdrive magazines, which are available on Libby, are seeing increased usage. Please, everybody, use them as much as you want. We pay one flat fee for unlimited usage on that. You can, as many people can check it out as once as possible. So if everyone wants to read the current issue of The New Yorker, you all can go read it, and you don't have to wait. And then Canopy, which is a streaming video product that we offer. One of the things that I like about Canopy is they have free children's content on Canopy, and so that is really wonderful for kids and families. Decreased usage, the physical media continues to decrease, this isn't a surprise. And then print magazines, we've gone through another flurry of losing print magazines. Douglas just lost two more in the last few months that have just gone out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So that is it's a collection that's shrinking, and it's a collection where the usage has been decreasing, partially because fewer people are interested in them, and partially because there's just not as much stuff out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk a little bit about cost per CERT content on Libby, and this is a way that I am managing the budget while offering content to people. Between July 1st, 2024 and June 30th, 2025, we offered about 8,400 items using the cost per CERT model. This is a model where we only pay if a customer checks out the item.
Mm-hmm.
I use this a lot for older titles, things that are a little more niche or more specialized,
mm-hmm.
things where I look at it and say, yeah, I don't think very many people are going to want to check this out. And I use it to kind of maintain the budget. We have about a $5,500 a month budget for cost per SERP content. And it usually doesn't get spent out, but I like to have it a little higher so we don't run out of money at the end of the month. But our cost per SERP items were checked out 19,699 times. I wish we'd had one more checkout to make that a nice round number, but we didn't. The average number of checkouts for cost per SERP title is 2.3. There are things that I offer on cost per SERP that nobody ever checks out. Most items get checked out once. When I get the invoice for cost per SERP once a month at the end of the month, I take a look at things, and if something is going out a lot, I will buy a copy, a regular copy, rather than continuing to offer this cost per SERP. I have been tallying up the approximate cost to purchase these cost per SERP titles as the regular metered content, so that's where we pay for a license and we get it for a set amount of time, and that would have cost the library $335,000. And we paid less than $66,000 based on the budget for cost per SERP, so that was actually a really good cost savings, and it allowed us to satisfy customer needs and interests without having to spend a ton of money on things that are not going to check that very well. So really quickly, by the numbers, this is the finale. we had 1.6 million total checkouts at Main and Douglas with 610,000 library visits. 1,835 library events with about 72,000 attendees, 35,277 cardholders, just shy of 87,000 public computer sessions, and that's all I have. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
Well, you answered your questions.
Yes, you did a great job. Yeah. Well, we will. We'll have
later.
Yes, we'll have regular.
Agenda.
Yes,
okay.
We'll have regular public comment at the end. Yeah.
I do have a question, and I'm not sure if this is for Nanette, but it's related to the bequest, and that it's directed for certain like books in circulation, and I'm wondering like how will that be doled out? Is that an endowment where we'll use a certain amount of that every year?
That's
and
right.
It'll be in perpetuity.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So
we'll
as it continues
to
grow, we'll be able to continue to grow how
okay.
we use that on our collections, both print
right.
and e.
Mm-hmm. Right. Awesome. So we'll probably need to add that to the budget at some point for increase the
okay.
budget for book purchases.
It does. So we have funding in the operating budget.
Yeah.
We have the per capita funding. We currently spend about $60,000 a year in private funding support from the foundation
yeah.
through donations,
mm-hmm.
and this would be an additional
so
probably $30,000 to $40,000 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. So next we would have the bamboo floor resolution.
Okay. So this might look familiar. We have seen the bamboo
yes.
floor resolution once before. You might remember last fall we posted the bamboo flooring bid. Unfortunately, we did not receive bids, but that actually turned out to be quite a good thing because as we revisited the project and had it scoped, we realized it was a little bit more intensive than we had anticipated. So here, this resolution is to update the amount of time that we think it will take, as well as to update the funding that will be required. It was a big enough increase in scope that the attorney for the library, as well as the architect, thought it would be a good idea to revisit the resolution and then post again. So.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the board on this item?
Does the architect think that we're going to get bids?
We're hopeful. We'll certainly do our part to raise awareness.
Mm-hmm.
If not, the regular process will go. It could be possible that we might need to post one more time just to make sure. And then we've typically done it that if we've posted for two bid cycles without any bids, then we feel like we've done our due diligence and then we would go out and seek a vendor or a contractor.
Okay. Do we have any comments from the audience on the bamboo floor resolution? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Okay, next we have surplus property.
So this is our standard process for being able to remove items from our our chairs and from our facilities and things like that that we no longer have need for. The goal is to try to see if there's need in the community for these items. If there's the ability to sell these items on like Marketplace or Craigslist or something like that. Typically we've had a lot of success with both of those endeavors, either being able to sell them or a local organization who'd be willing to take them before we just maybe would have to throw them away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved. Second.
Okay. Any questions from the board on this item? Any comments from the audience on surplus property? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Okay, and opposed? All right, next we have the financial reports. First, the check register.
All right, it is the end of the year and the beginning of the year, so we're starting to see those annual renewals for all of our databases and some of our contracts and things. So on page one near the bottom, you can see reaching across Illinois is an annual fee that's the consortium, I believe. Yes. Yeah. And then also on page three near the bottom, Stiffy says a database, Statista, is a database we use in services. So we're going to start seeing more of those larger annual. We see a lot of them in June and July.
Mm-hmm.
Some towards the end of the year, some towards the beginning of the year. On page six, you can see a very large check for the city to we received our tax levy installment, so we were able to pay back all of our payroll from March through June, right under the wire.
Right.
We got that all done and all caught up, and we are good to go for a while. And then on page seven near the middle, another check to the city for $241,175, which is our final debt service payment.
Ooh.
Yes.
Woo!
So there was a lot of ceremony. We can deliver the check, photos. So that was very, very exciting and something to celebrate for sure. And that is all I wanted to point out on the check register.
Move to file.
Second.
Do we have any questions from the board on the check register? Any comment from the audience on the check register? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Okay, next the financial statements.
Okay, a little bit of a year-end wrap-up. We'll start with the operating fund. As I mentioned, we received two installments for the 2024 property tax levy. So it was actually a little higher than we originally budgeted, so that's exciting. We have a little more to work with. We also, just because it was the first year for IMET, we actually ended up coming out with about almost $33,000 in interest earned off of the IMET account. This is distributed amongst all of our funds based on their cash balance at the end of each month. So that's why you're not seeing $32,000
mm-hmm.
on operating. But I think I had estimated just conservatively $20,000, so we did way better than I planned. So everything's just looking really great there. In expenses, we had some savings in a few areas, including salaries, where we had some attrition, some vacant spots like Terry's, who's now here, so we're so excited. So we had some savings there. And then in supplies and contractuals, we were just very conservative with our budgeting, just for the little unknown as to what pricing was going to look like. So. Again, we had some savings there. Things didn't quite seem as high as we originally thought they would be when we were doing the budget. Down near the bottom, you can see we paid out all of our transfers. We did not transfer any to the cafe this year, which is great. And our fund balance is looking really nice and healthy. So that would be a little bit of a wrap up for operating. for capital, and I'm sorry, I don't have the stapled sheet, so I have, is that the next?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For capital, same thing, a little bit of savings, which is great. We'll roll that and redistribute that with our re-budget coming up. We just had a little bit of expense this month for some repair work done around on the sidewalk and some updates around the building, just minor things. So but lots of fun capital to come. For cafe, same thing. Hinge sales were still up over last year. I calculated about an 8% increase in sales. It looks, you know, we didn't do a transfer. Expenses were a little high, but we're just kind of catching up after a big May. I think we're going to see a little slower just because it's June. We don't have the kids here. June and July will be a little bit lower, but I bet we'll pick back up again. Looking very good in the cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Per capita, zero. We spent everything on our materials, and as Brittany said, we've got another $130,000 coming, hopefully within the next month or two. And we'll get going on that and spending it back down on those materials. And then 27th pay period, we did our planned fund transfer for this year, so we moved the $23,000 as well as interest, and we'll continue to build that up so that we can accommodate that extra pay period. I believe it's in fiscal year 28, so it's coming up. So I analyze that on actually a couple times a year to make sure we're putting aside enough to cover what we think that would be. Gift funds are zeroing out like they should be for the year. And then I just wanted to point out on the general grant fund, I did go ahead and accrue the remainder of the $30,000 for the DCEO grant. We haven't received it yet, but I did put it as a receivable for the end of the year, as we expect to get that within the next month or two once we finalize our quarterly report and get that to the DCEO. That is all I have.
Okay. And for this one, we would need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Do we have any questions from the board on the financial statements? Okay. Any comments from the audience on the financial statements? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed. Okay, next we have committee and liaison reports, foundation.
Really not much to transmit at this time. We spent a little bit of time welcoming our new fund developer, and we're very happy about that. As you can see, the books are looking good. The gifts are excellent. So that's about all I have to say.
Great. Michael Fulmer is not here. I don't think we have anything major to update on City Council this month anyway. Then Friends.
So the Friends of the Library met today. They reported out that they have now about 270 members. They're looking at some opportunities to do pop-up program or pop-up opening, so to speak, for the Friday night hours. So they're maybe looking at a September date to be open during the new Friday night hours. And they're also working on some goal setting.
Okay.
By members, what does that mean exactly?
You can join to be a friend of the library.
How do you, what does that mean?
On their website.
Mm-hmm. So I believe the membership is about $10.
Uh-huh.
And you can, when you become a Friends member, and there are lots of folks who become Friends members because they want to support the library through financial, you know, through a donation. Uh-huh. But also, for example, you know, you might see booksellers become Friends members because you can have access to a members only early sale opening or something like that, or members only discounts.
Cool.
Can you get a free book?
Okay, it's now time for our regular public comment. The board now invites public comment. Public comment is an opportunity for the board to listen to community concerns. We treat the matters raised at public comment seriously, and in the interest of responding thoughtfully, it is the board's standard practice not to engage in back and forth exchanges or to respond on the spot. Rather, we listen carefully, take comments under consideration, and follow up with thorough research so that the board or library staff can make an informed response at an appropriate time. Each person is allotted 5 minutes to speak, and we request that each speaker state their name and city of residence prior to speaking. And we now invite any community member in attendance to participate.
I don't think he heard you.
Dr. Richards, did you have a question?
Oh, ready?
Okay. Yes, yes. Oh, sorry. Yes,
I was
completely
planning. Yeah, okay. Well, I like coming to these meetings because you're a good group. And the other reason is sometimes I learn something. Like today, what's Libby?
It is an ebook and the audiobook service that we provide to the community.
It's not a publishing company, then?
No, it's not a publishing company. It's an app.
And is it something to do with electronics?
Yes. It's for ebooks and e-audiobooks.
I see. Okay. How long has it been going on?
Christina, do you remember?
Over 20 years.
Yeah.
Over 20 years.
Over 20 years.
20 years. Okay. Somehow I missed that. Okay. Now, I think I've figured this one out. Something I forgot. DBL is Douglas Branch Library. Okay. Now, there was Libby was connected with something like CPC or something.
Cost per circ.
Yeah, what is that? I don't understand
that. We pay when somebody checks something out.
They pay you when they check it out?
We pay the vendor when a customer checks out an ebook or an audiobook that's offered through that.
Oh. Is that something that's also been around for a good while?
It's been around for probably 5 to 10 years.
5 or 10 years. Oh, I've never heard about that. That's interesting. So is there some particular kind of product that fits that well? You save money by not buying the product and stocking it, and you therefore pay something per event or something
like
that?
We only pay when it's used, rather than purchasing it and having it possibly be used less or not used at all.
How does the customer find out about that? Is it on the shelf and then they ask for it?
This is electronic content, so they request it.
So they see it on the internet someplace.
Yeah, they see it on the Libby app. There's no difference in the customer experience whether it is offered in one means or the other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me think for a moment. I may have covered it all. Now there is one more. So do you have an idea why the audio things are going less and less and less over the years?
There are fewer available for purchase, and customer behaviors have changed. A lot of customers are using electronic rather than physical media.
Could you repeat that? I didn't quite catch on.
A lot of customers are using electronic media rather than physical media, and there are fewer physical items available for purchase, so the demand has decreased.
Why is that? Why is that happening?
Because customers are not checking the materials out because they're accessing these materials digitally or electronically on a phone.
It sounds like you're telling me it's because the customer's desires are different, etc.
Yes.
Okay, have you figured out, got any idea for me why that's happening?
Well, I do think one thing that's interesting Nanette often shares is that, for example, cars that have been made after 2018 no longer have a CD player. So even as, like, you know, the world changes in media and how things are available, that's a big key piece of it. So unless you have a CD player, which I think, you know, they've become more expensive and very rare, it's hard to find nowadays, it's hard to be able to listen to an audiobook that's on a CD or a music CD, because finding a player for those can be very difficult, especially with newer cars after 2018, or trying to find a CD player.
Okay. Anything else? Because I have another item that you made me think of. I don't want to interrupt it. Okay.
So we do have just one more minute for...
How many?
Just one more minute.
One more minute?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I give some money to different organizations, and one of them is to deal with blindness. And they've apparently got some really modern new things coming out. And I was wondering, is there any connection you have with this National Blindness Organization or any of your products? Because apparently they have things that, you know, 20 years ago they were around. You know. Anything like that that you're dealing with? Of course, I've not noticed a lot of blind people here in Champaign-Urbana, or even at the university when I used to be an undergrad there. So anything happening, I'm just curious.
Sure. So even though, for example, like CD is changing in the usage of CD, we still have things like the Talking Book Service, we still have playaways, we still have the ability to connect someone to an audiobook electronically. So those are types, different types of things that we do pay attention to, whether there is sight impairment or other, you know, other types of things where the means of coming to the material is a way that we work through. Is there any other particular items that you're thinking of, Nanette, in terms of our device circulation?
All of our digital content is accessible.
Yeah.
And our vendors take that very seriously.
Right.
Okay.
Okay,
well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, do we have any comments from the board this evening?
One. It's not coming from me, it's coming from a community person. As you come into Douglas Branch, someone is saying that there is a room back there. As you pass by the circulation desk, you go straight back. Yeah. Is that an office? Is that space for instance, if a person wants to work with a student, are they able to go back there?
It is the staff, it's the Douglas Branch Manager's office, as well as the staff workstations and then the staff lounge that then connect to the makerspace. I believe once upon a time we did have study spaces at the Douglas location, but I believe when we remodeled and added the computer lab, we kind of lost the semi-private meeting space.
Okay, I just wanted to make
it's good,
that.
It's something that
yeah.
I'm reading.
Okay.
Okay, great. Okay, I'll pass it.
Any other comments from the board?
Good report.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Yes,
thank you. I always enjoy those statistical reports.
Me too.
And I'm thrilled that the last debt service came in this.
Yes.
Day.
That's so exciting. Yeah. Okay. Well, our next meeting will be here on August 20th after school starts. So we will see how that is going already in the new school year.
It's okay.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
I think it was okay for the rest of the evening. I don't think it's supposed to rain anymore.
You had to clear it out because it was recurring, recurring, recurring.
Oh,
so it was a nightmare.
That's not helpful.
My email blew up, so I was like, I'm popular.
How many emails did you get before you sent that? Of like, hey, nothing's changed.
Oh, gosh.
We were just on a roll.
Yeah. That was funny.